Shalom. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein, and I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 123 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch with us at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co and follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay tuned until the end of the program. We were going to offer you a very exciting opportunity, and please feel free to share this with others who will also find it of interest. Today, I'm very, very pleased and excited to invite a friend and a wonderful guest back for her third visit. And I realized today that it's on about 6 months intervals, which is very interesting and very appropriate. I'm stumbling because I don't know if I should call her Marzieh or Marzi, which is how I know her. Marzieh Amirizadeh is an Iranian American who immigrated to the U.S. after being sentenced to death in Iran for the crime of converting to Christianity. She endured months of mental and physical hardships and intense interrogation. She's the author of two books, both of which I've read once and one of which I've read twice. The latest, the one I've read twice, A Love Journey with God, is available at her website. Both books are marziesjourney.com. She's a public speaker, an activist for religious freedom, and an author of, in addition to the books, a number of important articles. And we're going to speak about her most recent one. She shares her inspiring story through the United States and around the world to bring awareness about the ongoing human rights violations and persecution of women and religious minorities in Iran. And again, her website is marziesjourney.com. There's a lot more that I could say, but I'll just say this. We met just about a year ago, April of 2023, when Marzieh came to Israel for the first time. And it was a wonderful opportunity. We had from day one, right? With the day, literally that you landed, we had a great connection and some really great experiences that day. And one of those experiences relates to this. And I've just really grown to appreciate, even though I'm an Orthodox Jew, her testimony, her faith so much, and her perseverance and her strength. So Marzieh, we're going to talk today specifically about your article, which you had published pretty widely. It's called The Five-Stone Strategy of Defeating the Islamic Regime in Iran. I'm excited to have you back. Welcome. It's great to see you again.
Thank you so much, Jonathan, for your kind and thoughtful introduction. It's, you know, that it's truly an honor to be on your program again. And it was right after the first podcast interview, you know, that God showed me the signal and I had the opportunity to visit the Holy Land for the first time and meeting you in person.
And it's, you're right. And it's been what a wonderful year and how this, our relationship has unfolded. It's very special. But also, as you mentioned that, it was after our first podcast together, which is 14 months ago, probably. But it was also so interesting, which is relating, and I'm just thinking about it now, relating to the title of your new article that we're going to get to. It was after someone gave you a rock from Israel, wasn't it?
Yes, it was you that after was the thing. Actually, the Westworld was the first place that immediately after I landed, I went to visit that and that place and to pray. And the second place, it was after meeting you, you take me to the Ella Valley. That was an amazing place that I remember. I read the chapters of David facing the Goliath and taking five stones. And I have the pictures. That was amazing visit.
What did that, you know, I like, we're going to get to the story, to your article a little bit, and I'll provide a link and encourage everybody to Google the article. It was in All Israel News, Crosswalk, Israel 365, and townhall.com, and at least, and a few others. Also, a place in Nepal, a Christian website in Nepal published. It was a great article. But what, when you were there, we were standing there together in the Elah Valley where David fought Goliath. It was on the way to your first media interview in Israel. What did you learn or understand differently about that, and how that's so significant that you use that to use as an example for defeating the Islamic regime?
You know, for me, as a Christian, reading Bible stories, that's a very encouraging story when I read about King David and how he faced his enemies at different times, and especially the first time that he entered the battle. And for me, you know that I faced the same and Goliath when I was in Iran, when I was in prison and facing these cruel, evil people. But especially after the brutal, savage Hamas attack on Israel and massacre innocent people, I was reading the Bible again, and I was reading that story, and I was thinking that's a great strategy that God gave David. And as I mentioned in my article, we know that David was an ordinary shepherd. He was not a military expert, but God has chosen him for a specific time. He anointed and prepared him for fighting, even though he was not an expert soldier learning how to fight in an army. But God, in different ways in his life, he prepared him as a warrior, as a fighter, and he faced lion and bear in his life and defeated them. And the important thing in that story that really I like about it is David's faith, because during his life and when he was an ordinary person, he learned that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob is always with him. And he knew when he wanted to enter the battle with Goliath, he had that strong faith that the same God who delivered him from those wild animals with the same strength is able to deliver him again. So my point is that, you know, imagine an ordinary person go to the battle and everyone mocked him. Even his brothers mocked him, that why you are here? This is not your place. But he knew that God has chosen him for a specific time, and he had that strong faith. He was not like idiot person entering such a big battle. He knew and he had that faith. That's why he decided to enter the battle. And we know that he took five stones, which it seems silly, you know, for all the soldiers and military there, that he wanted to strike that giant Goliath with just five stones. But he knew he had a strong faith. He knew the strength of his enemy. And also, the most important thing that I mentioned in my article, he knew where exactly to hit, where exactly to aim, and to kill his enemy. Even though I mentioned he took five stones, but he only used one to strike down the giant Goliath. And so he could defeat him immediately without even to need to use the other stones. And the important thing, as I mentioned, he didn't focus on the other part to take the stone and hit his hand, his leg, his chest. He just aimed his head. And that was my point when I was reading that story, that I was thinking the situation of Israel in this war It reminded me that story that David was a small, ordinary person and confronting a big, giant enemy. And it was like yesterday, I was watching national TV, the news from the national TV in Iran, and they were mocking the same way they were mocking Israel. They were showing the map of Iran, which is a big map, with comparing with the small map of Israel. And someone was mocking that, look how this little country trying to threaten us. And when I was looking at listening to that news, I was thinking that's exactly the story of David and Goliath. Because David heard that they are defying the army of God. And he said, who are they that they are defying the army of God? Because he knew the power of the God of Israel.
Is the story of David, you know much more about Islam because you grew up in a Muslim, an extremist Islamic society, but is the story of David discussed at all in Islam? Does David have a role?
No, I don't think so. If there is, I don't remember, okay. But I never heard such a story.
Interesting. Okay. Now, which again, it goes into your article, but by way of background, why your point of the five stones is so significant is that you refer to the Islamic regime, Iran today, as being the head of the octopus, and you mentioned not that David didn't throw at the arms or the legs or his chest or other parts of the body, and therefore as the head of the octopus, that's what David understood with Goliath. And also, I think we're having a pause. Are you frozen too? Here we go. Sorry about that. But that David also understood to go to the head. And you refer today to the Islamic regime as the head. And we've had this conversation regarding your article, but also in general, that the tentacles, the proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, which were fighting today. There were quite a number of rockets that were coming from Hezbollah in Lebanon here to Israel. The Houthis in Lebanon and all the other Iranian proxies. You're making the case that we shouldn't even not focus on them, but that's not how we're going to win. Can you talk about that a little bit? And then we'll talk about your five stones.
Yes, Jonathan, we know that this is the strategy of the Islamic Republic regime from the beginning, to distract Israel and the other countries with his proxies. And that's why they always create chaos in the region by making instability, is that correct?
Creating instability, sure.
In creating instability in the region through their proxies, and that way they hide themselves behind them and they say, no, it wasn't us, it was Hamas, it was Hezbollah, but everyone knows that who is behind all these proxies. And but through their proxies, funding, supporting, training them to do the dirty job for them, that's no one can accuse them directly, and they just throw this on their proxies. So my point is that the focus should be on the head of this octopus that you mentioned earlier, that of course Israel is fighting against Hamas. They should destroy Hamas. They should destroy Hezbollah, which are closer to Israel. But my point is that we need to put the main focus on the head, because if we strike the head, then all the tentacles will not work anymore. Because we know that the Islamic Republic regime support them, train them, and give them the weapons, the money, everything. So this is very important for for the world, for Israel and its allies to put their focus on the head of this octopus instead of being distracted by the proxies.
So you know what? With that, let's take a very quick break, and then I want to come back to speak about what those, where you correctly wrote in the article, the different stones, what the targets should be. Although, as you were speaking earlier, I had another question that maybe I'll come to. But we'll take a very quick break.
As remarkable and miraculous as Israel is, and its very existence a testimony to God's faithfulness, in many ways, Israel's like most other countries. Just as there are parents anywhere who have stronger and weaker parenting abilities, and adults become a product of situations in their lives that they cannot control, making their ability to raise and care for their own children even harder, that's true in Israel as well. The Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation is committed and takes the mandate seriously to care for the least of these, our brothers, our children. We're committed to bless and strengthen orphans and at-risk youth, to invest in them, to empower them, so that their future will be brighter than their past or their present. But Israel is unique in that there are always threats of war and terror which know no bounds. For children who come from homes that are not safe, sometimes the very scary reality of living in a community that's not safe is too much to bear. We are committed to turning orphans and at-risk youth into children of promise. We fund a variety of programs to help those most in need as widely as we can. We invite and encourage you to join us today so that we can ensure their brighter tomorrow. Please visit genesis123.co to find out more and to send your love and most generous donation today.
Hey, Marzi, what a great conversation. I love having read the article, and but now having a conversation with you about it. So you've got five stones, five different targets. Let me just read them, and then we'll go into why these are significant as far as defeating the Islamic regime. First of all, stone number one is the supreme leader and the Ayatollahs. The second stone is Iran's nuclear facilities and its scientists. Stone three, the IRGC, Islamic Revolutionary what does it stand for? GC. I should know this. IRGC, the militia of the Islamic regime, its leaders, its military installations, and its business subsidiaries, and putting them on a global terror list. Number four, stone number four, is the harsh economic sanctions on the failing Iranian economy. And number five, and it's interesting, and we'll maybe wait and do this in that order, the grave of Ayatollah Khomeini, who was the founder of the Islamic regime, and to remove all symbols of the Islamic regime from its beginning. I'm very intrigued by that. But let's start with stone number one, the supreme leader and the Ayatollahs. Where do we, and not saying you and I, but Israel or the world, have to hit, and why? Why the supreme leader?
You know, there are five stones. We know in the story of David, David only used one stone and aimed the head, but all these five stones, again, targeting the head. And the first one, as you mentioned, is targeting the Ayatollahs and the supreme leader in Iran, because I don't see any sanction, anything against the supreme leader of Iran in international community. And I believe this is very important to put tough sanctions on the supreme leader of Iran and his institution, whatever institution and places that he run, and also the Ayatollahs, which are very important. And the second song focus on, you mentioned, the nuclear sites in Iran. And I always emphasize that this is very important, that we can't let the Islamic Republic regime to achieve nuclear bombs. I believe after firing hundreds of missiles and drones on Israel, I hope everyone by now know that how crazy and irrational are these people and how serious they are in saying that they need to annihilate Israel. So imagine if they had nuclear bombs, they wouldn't hesitate to throw one on Israel when they fired more than 300 missiles and drones on Israel. And they, you showed me one of the pictures, you sent me one of the pictures, how huge was those missiles that they used against Israel. And praise God, the God of Israel, by miracle and by support of the Israel's allies, they could, you know, stop those missiles, and none of them hit the country, and no one were killed, which was a mocking, big mocking to these people. But they don't accept it. They have the they always deny, you know, the truth, and still they are. When I listened to them, they say that was a big attack because they wanted to be hero in the Muslim world. And if they achieve nuclear bombs, they won't hesitate to do that because they wanted to be the hero among Muslim world. So this is very important that Israel and its allies to focus on the nuclear side, because we cannot let these crazy evil people to achieve nuclear bombs at all. And also their scientists and whoever they help them to achieve nuclear bombs. And the second stone, as you read, it's the
third.
Oh, the third. You're
the IRGC. I remember what it stands for. It was Islamic Revolutionary Guard something.
Yes, the IRGC. And we know that from the beginning, after 1979 revolution happened in Iran, this anti-Semitism, demonizing Israel and Jews, started by Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic in Iran, and he started exporting this dangerous ideology to other countries. So, and also he started the IRGC, and IRGC quotes, which is the another branch outside Iran, the IRGC in Iran, mostly suppressing Iranian people, and the other branch outside Iran is for, you know, suppressing and killing innocent people outside Iran in the Middle East. So this is very important to target the IRGC. Everywhere their businesses, they have many institutions, that many big companies that they have the control of all those companies, and we need to target IRGC and also their businesses, their institutions everywhere, and put top sanctions on them. And not only doing that, but also to put them in a terror list, like the United States, and I read Sweden as well put the IRGC in a terror list. I believe all European countries should put IRGC in a terrorist list, because what they do is exactly what terrorists do inside Iran, killing innocent Iranian people, and outside by targeting, you know, other people and committing, killing innocent people. So this is very important. And the fourth stone, which was
economic sanctions. Now, that's, exactly. I want to talk about that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, economic sanction is very important. We need to paralyze this regime. And they usually get their money through working around these sanctions as well. We need to close those ways, and they through money laundering, through drug dealing is another way that they make their money. There are many ways that they try to work around the sanctions and bring money to their dirty jobs. So we need to find out those ways and put top sanctions on the economy of the country to paralyze them, because if they don't have money, they can't support Hamas, Hezbollah, and Houthis and all other their proxies. So this is very important. Money is very important to put top sanctions on their bank accounts everywhere in the world. But unfortunately, we know that, excuse me.
No, go ahead, finish your thought. I want to ask you a question about it, but finish your thought.
Yeah, that's very important. And that makes me very angry when I see the Biden administration, instead of putting top sanction on this terrorist regime, they send billions of dollars to support them. Where does money go? We all know that that money goes to killing more innocent people, to suppressing Iranian people, and killing people in the Middle East, and supporting their proxies, Hamas, to kill Israeli people. So that's very important. And I, every time, as I mentioned, when I read the news that unfortunately the Biden administration, publicly they come and they say that we will stand with Israel, we will stand with Iranian people, but behind the scene, they make a deal with these terrorists and send billions of dollars to them as a ransom. And that needs to be stopped. And
let me ask you, which is very interesting, and it's great that you set it up this way. The most recent $10 billion, the first was straight ransom. That was $6 billion in the summer, ransoming several U.S. citizens, dual citizens who were in prison. Second was, I don't even know what the money is, but another $10 billion. And I remember seeing Secretary of State Blinken talking about how, no, they're going to monitor the money and the money won't be used for terrorism and bad things. First of all, that's silly. That's nonsense. But the idea was kind of a nice idea in the sense that we're going to help the Iranian people. The Iranian economy is in very bad shape. The currency is down significantly. The stock market is down. And what my question is, won't economic sanctions ultimately also hurt the Iranian people who don't want the regime?
You know, Iranian people, if you need to ask these questions from people inside the country. So Iranians know that none of this money will go to people. And this is, as you mentioned, this is silly that the Biden administration keeps saying that this money will go for humanitarian purpose. This is silly. And Iranian people have no problem with the sanction, because with the sanction or without the sanction, their situation will not change.
Okay.
Because Iranian people and the country Iran has been taken hostage by these terrorists, and the last thing that they think, and that they never think, I believe, is Iranian people and their well-being and their situation. So it's very important. That's why I'm emphasizing that this is very important to me and to many Iranians. We know that if truly they put top sanctions on targeted people, like the government officials and IRGC businesses everywhere, they can put top sanctions on those Ayatollahs as well, Supreme Leader of Iran as well. They can target these people and put top sanction on those people. And during Trump presidency of Trump, we knew that those top sanctions really worked, and it was working. But unfortunately, the Biden administration started using the same policy of Obama, which I mentioned many times when I was in prison, that again, you know, a big demonstration started after a fraud in the election, and people started asking, you know, support from America. And again, Obama betrayed people at that time. And again, at this time, Biden keep betraying Iranian people.
Yeah.
And that caused Iranian people to lose their hope, trusting America, because they know that whatever they say publicly is a lie. They are not going. They are keep covering for them. They are keep supporting them in different ways. They do not listen to the voice of Iranian people. And more than 80 million people are against this regime. And these people and this regime, terrorist regime, is not a legit regime when people, majority of Iranian people, are against it. And the true and the biggest enemy of this regime, I mentioned many times, are Iranian people.
Yeah.
Because they turned their back to this regime. And they showed, and praise God, after many years, finally, they could show to the world, after the brutal murder of Mahsa Amini, finally, Iranians were able to show that there is a big difference between the Islamic Republic regime and Iran and Iranian people.
Excellent.
And thousands of them, by sending their videos, their films, they showed their support with Israel, that they are standing with Israel, because Iranians believe that we have a common enemy. We are fighting against the same enemy. That's why they are supporting Israel. That's why they are standing with Israel, because they know the nature of this evil. And yeah, that's why that's I was thinking about the fourth stone, which was the IRGC again.
The economic sanctions, but yeah. So my question was
economic sanctions
it's important the way you if I'm summarizing what you just said correctly, you're saying that, first of all, it's silly to think that any money that's being bribed or paid to the regime would get to the people anyway. So they're not benefiting. So they're not losing by economic sanctions. And second of all, 80 million people, 80 million Iranians want this regime to be gone, want to control their own country again. And therefore, they're at battle too and prepared to do what's necessary on their end, and even if that means economic sanctions might trickle down and affect the price of diapers or other things.
Yeah, Jonathan, Iranian people is more than 40 years are fighting against the most brutal, evil regime. And whatever it takes that they can get rid of this terrorist regime, they don't have any problem with that.
Right.
But the problem is that we know that, unfortunately, the Biden administration and some European leaders, instead of standing with Iranian people to cut the head of this evil, to get rid of this terrorist regime, they are not supporting people. They say, publicly, but we know behind the scene, they try to find different ways to cover for the regime, to support the regime, to deal with these terrorists, which is very disgusting. And people are not stupid. We can see the truth, even though they, you know, the news try sometimes to, you know, not to cover the truth, but we can see what's going on in the world. And Iranian people expect the international world to stand with them after more than 40 years suffering under this brutal regime.
Right. I want to take another break, and maybe it's a really good time, because we're going to come to stone number five, which I think is the most interesting and provocative. Before I do, when you were speaking before about the Obama administration, you write about that in your book, and there's so much that we're not even going to get into. We've spoken about some things like this on the previous podcasts, and I certainly encourage people to go back and watch from this past September, right? It was actually right before the war began, and then our first conversation, I think, was February of 23, before you came to Israel. So about 14 months ago from when we're speaking now. But I want to encourage people to go to your website, marzisjourney.com, and order your books. where they can read more about what it, not just that you're saying the Obama administration empowered the Iranian regime, but also how. And we're going to talk about that. But first, a very quick break.
The restoration of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel was an earth-shattering event. For Christians, it was a confirmation that God always keeps his covenantal promises. Today, we are blessed to see God's fingerprints in the modern miracle of the land of Israel playing out in our lives among the people and in the state of Israel. This year, on the occasion of Israel's 75th anniversary, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been privileged to bring together 75 Christian leaders from around the world to lend their unique voices, sharing their personal faith experiences relating to Israel and their in-depth insight into Israel's history and spiritual significance, creating an historical, one-of-a-kind, high-end coffee table book, Israel the Miracle. Israel the Miracle's stunning imagery will fill your home with the hope of fulfilled promises and conversations about Israel. It's a perfect gift to anyone for any occasion, and most of all, to yourself. You'll also be a blessing to Israel, knowing that the proceeds will go to bless Israelis of all backgrounds. Be a part of Israel the Miracle and bring the land, the people, and the state of Israel into your heart and into your home. Visit IsraelTheMiracle.com to get your limited edition copy today.
Marzi, I'm loving this conversation. Stone number five, the grave of Ayatollah Khomeini, and to remove the symbols of the Islamic regime from its beginning. What is that about? Why do we need to target a grave of a dead person?
Yes, that's a very good question. And I was thinking probably everyone who read the article were thinking, so what's the point about blowing up a grave of a person? But honestly, we know that Khomeini, the fanatic Muslim who came to Iran in 1979, started that revolution and got the power. He is the symbol of this evil Islamic regime, first of all, above everything. And everything started with him. And God showed me when I was living in Iran, he was a demon. He was truly a demon. And when you look at, when you read whatever he has written or his speeches, you can see that. For example, I was thinking about, you know, his books, which is very disgusting. Most of his books is about, you know, sexual things, that how to have sexual relationship. Of course, how to have sexual relationship with a child. How it's maybe this is not the right place to mention, but I wanted to mention this guy. People need to know, well, who are these true Ayatollahs, and especially Khomeini, that they were some people, their followers were worshiping him. That he was discussing different kinds of sexual relationship on top of a camel. And when earthquake happened and his aunt fell on somebody and created a child, about this book, when you read it, it's crazy and it's so disgusting. So these kind of ideas come from a person that they created him as a spiritual leader. And beside that, you know, the demonic spirit of this person, he started anti-Semitism from the beginning, the systematic brainwashing students and children and people in the country. And it was when he got the power, that's interesting, that from the beginning, he told Jewish community in Iran that he issued a fatwa that they will have their safety. But one of them was Habib Elghanian. He, if I'm right, he was the head of the Jewish community in Iran. And in he had only 20 minutes trial. And after that, he broke his, Khomeini broke his promise and executed him and started executing Jews in Iran. So right after he got the power, he showed his true face to Iranian people and all other religious minority, including Jews in Iran. And as I mentioned, he started the systematic brainwashing children with anti-Semitism and trying to demonize Jews in Israel. So this is very important. And that plays the grave. That's I wanted to emphasize, that if you look it up in Google, it's a huge place. It's a big tomb that they made for Khomeini. And it's not, believe me, that's not a place just for a grave of a person. We know terrorists, like look at Hamas. They usually hide all important things and missiles and whatever they wanted to hide. They put it underground of hospitals, schools, and those places that they know that if Israel attack, it's going to be, a shame for Israel to show that, look how Israel is a demon, like a demon targeting schools and hospitals. But we know the truth that they hide many important things in their missiles below the hospitals, below the schools. And Iranian people, the Islamic Republic regime are the same. And I strongly believe if you look at that place, it's a huge place.
It's huge. I'm looking at a picture now. It's huge.
They have hidden many important things there. And also, the grave of Khomeini is the heart of Ayatollahs, is the place for the supporters of the regime who gather in that place. It's not just a shrine place that people or just ordinary people goes there. So this place is very important, and I strongly believe they made it huge because they could, they can hide many important meetings, many important weapons under this place. So no one pay attention to that. And they know at the time of war, probably Israel or any other country is not going to target that place because everybody will think that's just the tomb of a person, and they are not going to hit that place. So we need to focus on that place as well. That's why I chose the fifth stone targeting that place, which is very important. And also beside that, for many Iranians, they know he was the one who brought disasters and misery to Iranian people. And I'm sure, I have no doubt, after the fall of the regime, either this place will be destroyed in a war or not, after the fall of this regime, Iranians will not that place to stay there at all. They will destroy it completely.
It's very interesting. First of all, there's a lot of gold. I'm looking at this picture. I should have looked before, but it's huge. I mean, if you look just, if you look at a car next to it, I don't even know how big. It's massive. A couple of well-placed weapons, bombs, air-guided things could take that out. And what you're saying is there may very well be things underneath it that are hiding there. But it's also an important symbol, which reminds me, in your article, I love how you tied in the scene in The Wizard of Oz when the Wicked Witch was melted. And that was also a very important symbol for, I mean, of course, Wizard of Oz is a 1939 film, but it was an important symbol, and it's very relatable because then the people who the witch hijacked, same way, who she controlled, were glad for her demise, for her death. So it's a very interesting stuff. I have to ask you, because I've read your books, one of the fascinating things that you did while you were in Iran was placing 20,000 Bibles all around Tehran and other religious sites. Did you happen to go into the tomb of Ayatollah Khomeini to place
No,
Bibles there?
We didn't go, but we went to one of the most religious cities, Qom, which is the center of Ayatollahs.
Yeah.
Their home, most of their homes are there. And that could be another stone, but we have five stones. But we went to a shrine, Islamic shrine, which was for Masume, and it's one of the Islamic place that usually thousands of people will go there. But we targeted that place because we knew that, you know, majority of Iranians do not go to Khomeini's tomb because they hate him. But that place, since there are many Muslims and still they have their beliefs, Islamic belief, they will visit that shrine more than that place. That's why we took Bible there. And, you know, I'm an ordinary person, Jonathan, you know, that most of my strategies comes from the stories of the Bible. Like, you know, distributing Bibles in Iran, I got that idea from reading Bible's stories that God showed me you need to scatter the seed in Iran. And David's story is another strategy. When I read the Bible story, as I mentioned, God speaks to me through the verses of the Bible, and he showed me, even though the stories are very ancient stories, but they can teach us the story of faith. And also, I remember, you know, I mentioned earlier that when I was in prison, it was a kind of defeating or facing the Goliath, because in most of my interrogations and during the courts, when the judges and interrogators were threatening me from the beginning, I had the faith that God is with us and he will protect me and my friend against them. And I mention it in the court. I mention it during my interrogations that you are not fighting with me. You are fighting against a big, powerful God who is behind me, and he will give me the victory against you. And at the beginning, they could not believe that, and probably they would mock me by saying those kind of things. But when you read this story, you read both of my books, that you see that how Jesus revealed himself at different times when I was in prison and showed his power to not only prisoners, but to the interrogators. One of my interrogators, I had a discussion with him, and I told him that we need to be careful how he's talking to me. And again, I mentioned that you are not fighting against me. And I warned him that the way that he was treating me. And the last day that we were close to get released, we had a meeting with him. And all I saw that all his hands and his neck was burning. And it seems that he had a very bad incident. Wow. And when I was talking to him, I could see in his words that he felt something. He felt that there is a big, a powerful God in our story and in our faith. So many people, not only prisoners, and also the interrogators, the judges, could see that. And it's the same story for Israel, that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a powerful God. And when we read the Bible story, that many times we see that God promised to show himself, to show his power to his people and to protect them. Actually, I was reading Exodus chapter 3 and 4 when God chose Moses and tell him to go to the Israeli... to the leaders and gather those leaders.
Yes.
At the beginning, he's telling to God that who I am just an ordinary person. And many times you see in the conversation that Moses has a fear and he says that I can't even talk. And God told him that it's me and I will give you the power of the speech. I will give you the power of the miracles. And I will show to those people and Pharaoh that this is me, that I'm going to strike them. Yeah. So my point is that, and these are all stories of faith and that required us as believers and Jewish people to have the faith that the God of Israel is going to protect them and give them. It's the God of Israel that is going to protect them and to give them the victory. That's the promise of God.
Right.
And beside that, that we need to have this faith. We need to activate our faith when we face this giant Goliath.
Excellent. Excellent. That's so good. That's it. When it was very nice because I think that was at the end of your article as well, which is a great, it's not just what your military, if you will, tactics are, how to defeat the Islamic regime, but in fact, a reminder, which is something that we need at this time. It's still very stressful here and things may yet get much worse. Even with the miracles that we saw in the last week, with Iran's failed attack and our very precise attack back, showing them that we can do anything we want, that we can use that one stone and take them out. I want to take another break, and I want to actually pick up on that one stone idea and then begin to wrap up the conversation.
Friends, Israel's at war, and the war may get worse before it gets better, much worse. It's going to be a long war because the enemy is the epitome of evil. It's not just a matter of overcoming troops on a battlefield, but overcoming a theology, an ideology, an evil one. While the Genesis 123 Foundation has been overwhelmed with the support of so many donations to the Israel Emergency Campaign, there's so much more that needs to be done. We've invested your donations that we've received so far strategically to make the biggest impact possible, whether helping with soldiers and their equipment and personal needs, to providing civilian security for outlying border communities, to relocating and settling several families from near the Gaza war zone, launching the global petition drive to support Israel in the face of pressure for a ceasefire and long-term needs for at-risk children, traumatized now more than ever before. Please take a moment to pause this conversation right now and go to love.genesis123.co and donate generously. We value your trust and we will keep all donors informed about how and where your donations are being used to contribute to make the biggest impact possible. And when you use that link, love.genesis123.co, you can also send your prayers and words of encouragement to Israelis of all backgrounds. Just sending your love, something that we need so desperately. Thank you, and God bless you and your loved ones.
Thank you, Marzi. This is so interesting. You know, when I do podcasts and people who are watching the video can see me distracted, I'm paying attention to everything you're saying, but you're provoking me to go and check things, to look at the tomb for Khomeini and also another interesting question, which I didn't think about before, and I should have checked rabbinic writing, and I'll ask anyone who is familiar with it to maybe share their thoughts in the comments of this and to me personally. But it is fascinating that David took five stones and only needed one. And I'm not sure what the rabbinic commentary on that is. Why take five? If you have faith, then you only need one, right? So my question to you is, you've got five stones, you were using the same metaphor, but what if we only need that one against the regime? What stone is it? Or is that possible? I mean, anything's possible with God. But if you had one stone, not five stones, where would you target at being to take down the regime?
You know, Jonathan, to me, all those five stones that we talked about, it's to me is one stone together because it's targeting the head of the Islamic Republic regime. My point is that we need to target the head. And when we look at the story of David, when he entered the battle, he targeted the Goliath, and with one stone, he struck him down. And it's not, the story is not ended there. It's, of course, those soldiers and the military of Saul after that, you know, killing the rest of the army of Palestine at that time. So I believe David was a kind of a hero of faith that galvanized, if it's that's the right word, reminding the army of the Israel that we have power in our God, and it is Him who is going to give us the victory. He was just keep trying by doing this. He just reminded that army, and then everyone became very brave, and they, I don't know how to explain it with my broken English, sorry, but I mean that.
I love your English. I could never speak another language the way you speak English.
So after, it was after that that the army of the soul were able to destroy completely on the Palestine army. So to me, I can't say those five stones that we talked about it, I can't say just economic sanction just targeting the idols, because these are all together. These are, to me, these are one stone, but since we wanted to...
So you're correct. So what you're saying is that you're, all of those stones target the head. And right now, yes, we should, we're going to fight Hamas, and we need to fight Hezbollah and the Houthis and others. But to win the ultimate war is focusing on the head. And these are the five, and these are the five stones that we could use.
Yeah, my my point, Jonathan, is that Israel this time need to put its focus on the Islamic Republic regime. Because as we know, as long as the Islamic Republic regime is in power, there is no end to this. There is no end to such threat toward Israel, mocking and killing innocent Jews and Israeli people.
Yeah,
they may say they are big liars, and I think they are trying this time, since they don't want to go to direct war with Israel, the reason they try to waste time is just to achieve nuclear bombs. And this is very dangerous. They are trying to buy more times. And when they achieve nuclear bombs, then, as I mentioned, they won't hesitate to throw one on Israel. And And I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned in my article or not, that I told you that this is the best timing for Israel to cut the head of this octopus, this evil, forever. Because this is the best timing. Why? Because majority of Iranian people are against this regime. They turned their back to this regime, and they are waiting to overthrow this regime. So that's the best timing.
So the timing of your article came out because of the real miracles. I mean, I think you and I texted each other while I was sitting here at home waiting for the Iranian missiles and drones to land. And it was honestly very stressful. But there's nothing, it was nothing short of a miracle, simply nothing short of a miracle. You saw the picture of me standing next to the one missile that's 11 meters long, the one that fell into the Dead Sea. It's missing the warhead, it's missing the engine, but it's huge. And I'm not a military expert, but there's no way other than seeing the miracle that there was so little damage. And I think 99% of the missiles and drones that were shot at us were taken down and didn't even make it into to land here. The other miracle is how Israel just said, we're going to hit in the one particular town, showing you that, yeah, we can hit your nuclear sites, and this is what will happen. Personally, I think maybe we should have gone for it. My question is, you follow the Iranian news, you are following on social media, you mentioned how the Iranian people understand that it's the same enemy. What's been the response? Iranians who are, even if they're nominally Muslim, don't really understand who the God of Israel is. Are they seeing miracles? Are they seeing this as the opportunity now to take down the regime?
Maybe majority of Iranian, unfortunately, don't know the God of Israel and the power of the God. But as you mentioned, absolutely, that was a big miracle above, the support of Israel allies and Israel itself that tried to defend themselves. But that was an absolute miracle by God that none of those missiles hit the country or hurt people.
Well, there was one 7-year-old girl, an Arab girl, a Bedouin.
Yeah, that was just, and I read the comments by Iranians on social media. Many Iranians were mocking them, and when I read their messages, I see that Iranian people know that this regime is just a paper tiger. They don't have power, and their power is just to suppressing their own people. Right after that attack, when they couldn't hit Israel, they started suppressing Iranian women. They sent hundreds of morality police to the streets. And if you check the news, I saved many of those films that how brutally started arresting, beating women in the streets and taking them to prisons. So when the regime cannot hit their enemies, they try to kill their own people. That's their way, because they know that after that attack, everyone started mocking them, that they have no power, because the whole world could see that they are just a fake Goliath with no power. So Even for Iranian people, they lost their faith, because all the time they were saying that we are powerful, we are going to annihilate Israel. So that attack revealed to everyone, especially to Iranian people, that how weak they are. That's why they needed immediately to suppress Iranian people, to show their power to Iranian people. And that's the only way that they can show their power, by keep arresting and killing innocent people in Iran. Because Iranian people are in bare hand fighting against the most dangerous terrorists inside Iran. They don't have anything to defend themselves, and they can easily kill those people to suppress them. Because they knew after such attack, after being mocked internationally, all around the world, so there's a possibility that Iranians could, raise up and to try to, to overthrow the regime. Immediately, they sent all their troops, all their morality police in the streets to suppress Iran.
Yeah.
But about the God of Israel, unfortunately, many Iranians still don't know. And for someone like me, that I became a Christian, after I became a Christian, I started reading the Bible stories, and I started reading amazing stories how the God of Israel was protecting his people, his nation, during all the time from the beginning until, I believe in Jesus, and I have the same faith right now, that when I was in prison, I just had my own faith. I was just an ordinary person. I didn't have any power. They could execute me anytime. But it was my faith that helped me to stand up for my faith and to resist their, their pressures and in their interrogations.
Yeah, this is amazing. Also, when you're speaking now, and we're speaking just a few days before the beginning, of Passover, and you were here during Passover a year ago. When this comes out, it'll be in the midst. But what are we celebrating then? Not just the liberation of the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt, but also to a pharaoh, an evil, and he wasn't a Muslim, of course. Islam didn't exist for probably 2,000 years. Yeah, about 2,000 years later. But God showed his might to the world's greatest power then, 3,300, 3,500 years ago, by the plagues, by bringing us out and rescuing us and providing for us all through the 40 years of the desert. It's kind of hard for people not to believe. So just, I know it's important for you, which is what I part of what I introduced you, is that eventually also Iranians will understand and understand the significance of our Creator and come to faith. And that's and not just protecting persecuted Christians, but also that people should understand that what they worship is not real. Marzi, I want to wrap up. We could go on forever. I'm really enjoying this conversation. I always do. And I'm really enjoying it. I was noticing, you know, it wasn't 6 months. It's been 7 months, exactly 7 month intervals that we spoke. The first time in February, the last time in September, and it's now 7 months since then. So I'm making a date. I don't want to wait till that long, but next November, which will have some very significant opportunities, because hopefully things before November, before the U.S. presidential election, will play out. Hopefully there won't be an Islamic regime in Iran, and the tentacles, which are all vastly through the Middle East, will no longer be threats to us. But for, if not before, for sure then, let's have another 7 month date. But before we wrap up, I always like to try to give my guests this. What's the last word? What have we not? I want to encourage people, read your book for the books for the background, and this article we'll put in the show notes, so people can read it. And you've also written a number of really very important articles. I think your voice is so important. What have we not talked about that you want to just say as closing words?
Yeah, I wanted to mention about something that was very encouraging to me when I was in prison in 2009. I experienced firsthand the brutality of this regime many times in my life, and especially in at prison. And I remember at that time I was praying to God I was witness how many people got arrested and they tortured them, they executed them. I was crying to God and I prayed and I told him, why you let these cruel, evil people to have power to kill all those innocent people? And I had a dream that I shared in my book that you mentioned, A Love Journey with God, that God told me that he's giving these people, these cruel, evil people, a chance to repent. But if not, he's going to destroy them all. That I never forget that sentence when he talked to me directly. And 2 points was in that dream. The first point was that God, the loving God, always love all people, no matter who they are, what they do. And he always give a chance to everyone, even those evil people, to repent. But he says, if not, he will destroy them all. And that means that God's justice will not go away. It's not like that God loves everyone and keeps giving you this timing to keep committing your crimes. There will be a time that God's judgment will come. And I strongly believe that God's judgment toward the Islamic Republic regime and Ayatollah is coming. And I strongly believe that Israel will be victorious in this war. And it is the God of Israel will give victory to Israel to help Iranian people and themselves to destroy this terrorist evil regime. So that's my faith. And another thing about this regime that I mentioned in my book, it's about the power of using witchcraft. And God revealed that to me when I was living in Iran.
Let's be clear, not you using witchcraft, but the Islamic regime using witchcraft.
Yeah. Okay. And I mentioned that in my book. I don't go to the details. It's a big topic.
Buy the book.
But I just wanted to say that their power comes from evil. Their power comes from doing witchcraft. But the God of Israel is a true God. Yeah. Jesus Christ is the true God to Christians like me. So we know that we have power in the name of our God and in the God of Israel that promise to save and to protect his nation. So I have zero doubt that the Islamic regime is going to be winner in this war. It's Israel, that the chosen people of God, God will give them the victory. That's my point.
Wow. Amazing. You always inspire me. I love having conversations like this with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
One, I guess just before we wrap up, because you're reminding me, May 15th, I've asked you, hopefully you're available, you'll participate in our global prayer for Israel. But when you're speaking about God offering the opportunity in your dream to for the leaders of the Islamic regime to repent. So one of the items that we're praying for on May 15th, and maybe this is specifically the segment that you should be part of, is praying for our enemies. Not that we want them to win, but that God will change their hearts. And yes, indeed, if he doesn't change their hearts, then that we should have the necessary victory over them. So anyone watching or listening now should go to Genesis123.co for information about our global prayer for Israel. And Marzi, I hope you'll be able to participate as well. Wow, Marzi, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Really, what a delight.
It's
an important conversation, and I'm glad we're having it now. I thank you for writing your article that you did, and we'll be sharing that. And we'll, if not before, we'll look forward to seeing you again in 7 months.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. God bless you. And
God bless you.
It was an honor to be on your program.
It was an honor to have you back. And as we always say, wrapping up, for people who have been following for the last, three or more years, if you've stayed with us, if this wasn't a reward enough, you deserve another reward. Beginning when we started the Genesis 123 Foundation, we started a program called From Jonathan's Bookshelf. And every month we would give away a different book. Actually, I think maybe even one of yours in the past, Marzi. But since September, since our book came out, Israel the Miracle, we've been giving away a free copy of Israel the Miracle every month. And all we ask that you do is follow and like an Inspiration from Zion on all of the social media and share and comment. And if you share and comment the link to this article, we're picking one person each month to receive a free copy of Israel the Miracle. Marzi, I know you got your copy and made some lovely comments about it. I hope that many other people will. And I also look forward to giving away copies. But I'm also going to offer it something else today. Since we're speaking with you, I'm looking up on my bookshelf, and it literally is from Jonathan's bookshelf. I see two copies of your book. So one of them will be a gift from me to someone else who follows, who shares and comments this. Everyone else, you're going to have to go buy your own copy. We're always grateful that this podcast is sponsored by our friends at the Willow Run Greenhouse in Culpeper, Virginia. And I tell people, if you're enjoying these conversations, please pop in if you're in the neighborhood and thank them for helping make conversations like this possible. And also thanks to our good friends, the Coyne family, as well, for their meaningful sponsorship. Inspiration from Zion and all of the Genesis 123 Foundation programs are made possible by donations. So please consider joining us to help continue the dialogue and build bridges. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode in honor or memory of a loved one or a special occasion, please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. We'd always love to hear your comments and questions, especially about traditional Judaism for our Ask the Rabbi programs. Please share this link to the conversation here with others who you know will also find it of interest, and continue to join us right here as we bring you more meaningful conversations about unique topics relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I pray that you and your loved ones are all safe and healthy, and I send my blessings from right here in the Judean Mountains. God bless you.